الجامعة الافتراضية السورية، كتاب Criminal Law by عماد الدين محمد، الوحدة التعليمية الأولى، Chapter 1. يغطي هذا التسجيل الشرائح من 24 إلى نهاية Chapter 1. From slide 24 until the end. تقدمت مبادرة ضوء بصوت دانا بيرقدار. Slide number 24. The trial. للاطلاع، مخطط بياني يوضح التالي. Prosecution case presented. من ثم defense submission of no case to answer optional. ومن ثم إما successful submission acquittal أو unsuccessful submission case continues. ثم defense case presented. بعدها prosecuting and defense closing speeches and the judges summing up in Crown Court only. ثم magistrates or jury retire to consider verdict. ثم إما not guilty verdict delivered acquittal أو guilty verdict delivered conviction. وفي نهاية sentence. Slide number 25. The trial. As the prosecution brings the case against the defendant, the prosecution must prove that the defendant committed a criminal offense. The prosecution will present their case and call the witnesses first. When the prosecution have finished calling their witnesses, it is open to the defense to make a submission of no case to answer. This is called a half-time submission. The defense argue either that the prosecution have failed to prove the elements of the offense or that the evidence they have is so weak that a jury or magistrates properly directed could not convict on it. If this submission is successful, the judge will direct an acquittal and the trial is over. Slide 26, also the trial. If the submission fails, the trial will continue with the defense presenting the case and calling the witnesses. At the conclusion of the defense case, both the prosecution and the defense will give closing speeches. At this stage, if the trial is held in the magistrate's court, the judge, which is usually three justices of the peace or one district judge, will retire to consider their verdict. If the trial is held in the Crown Court, the trial judge would give a summing up speech to the jury. This is a summary of the evidence they have heard and directing them on the law. The jury will retire to consider its verdict. When the magistrates or jury reach their verdict, they will deliver it in the open court. Slide 27. The verdict and sentencing. If the magistrates or jury return a not guilty verdict, the defendant is acquitted and is free to leave the court. If the magistrates or jury return a guilty verdict, the defendant is convicted of a criminal offense and the court will sentence him. The sentencing hearing may not be on the same day. It is usual for the judge to adjourn proceedings for 4 weeks in order to obtain a pre-sentence report on the offender. A pre-sentence report is written by a probation officer who has regular meetings with the offender during the adjournment. The report will recommend certain types of sentence for the offender and the judge will take this into account in sentencing. At the sentencing hearing, after hearing a representations from both the prosecution and the defense, the judge may impose a variety of sentences on the offender depending upon the offense for which he or she has been convicted. Slide 28, also the verdict and sentencing. The range of sentences available are imprisonment, suspended sentences of imprisonment, community rehabilitation orders, community punishment orders, curfew orders, supervision orders, attendance center orders, drug treatment and testing orders, drug abstinence orders, reparation orders, action plan orders, parenting orders, fines, endorsements, conditional discharges, absolute discharges, bindovers, forfeiture orders, compensation orders, restitution orders, confiscation orders, hospital orders, and antisocial orders. Slide 29. The hierarchy of the criminal courts. A defendant's first appearance in court is always at the magistrate's court, as this is the lowest of the criminal courts in the hierarchy, and it is where trials for summary offences take place. Defendants are tried either by one judge who is legally qualified and is called a district judge, or by a bench of three lay judges who are not legally qualified and are called justices of the peace. There is no jury. The Crown Court is a higher court in the hierarchy and is where trials for indictable only offences must take place. Trials for either way offences may take place in either the Magistrates' Court or the Crown Court, depending upon the seriousness of the circumstances of the offence and/or the defendant's choice. Slide 30. The Hierarchy of the Criminal Courts. Trials in the Crown Court involves a judge and a jury, and each has a different role to play. The jury is the tribunal of fact and decides whether or not the defendant is guilty of the offence charged. The judge in a Crown Court is legally qualified and is called a circuit judge. The judge is the tribunal of law. It is his or her job to make rulings on the law, decide upon the admissibility of evidence, and summarize the case to the jury and direct them on the law. Slide 31. Also, the hierarchy of the criminal courts. Where a defendant has been tried and convicted in magistrate's court, he or she has a right of appeal against conviction and/or sentence. The appeal will be heard in the Crown Court. Where a defendant has been tried and convicted in the Crown Court, he or she has a right of appeal against conviction and/or sentence. The appeal will be heard in the Court of Appeal or Criminal Division. Another option, which is available to defendants convicted in the Magistrates' Court or the Crown Court, or even to the prosecution, is to appeal to the High Court by way of case stated. This procedure applies to appeals on a point of law. Alternatively, an application for judicial review of the magistrate's or trial judge's decision may be made to the High Court. Slide 32, also the hierarchy of criminal courts. Appeals from the Court of Appeal may be made to the Supreme Court by either the prosecution or the defense. Before the 1st of October 2009, appeals from the Court of Appeal were made to the House of Lords, which is now known as the Supreme Court. A case will only proceed to the Supreme Court if the Court of Appeal certifies a question of law of public importance and grants leave to appeal. If leave to appeal is refused by the Court of Appeal, an application for leave can be made directly to the Supreme Court. Slide 33, للإطلاع. Also, the hierarchy of criminal courts. بداية من Crown Court ثم إما Court of Appeal Criminal Division ف Supreme Court formerly the House of Lords أو High Court Divisional Court QBD ومن ثم أيضا Supreme Court formerly the House of Lords. Slide 34. أيضا للإطلاع the hierarchy of criminal courts. بداية من Magistrates Court, Crown Court, High Court Divisional Court, QBD, وفي الأعلى Supreme Court, formerly the House of Lords. Slide 35. The burden and the standard of proof. There's a picture with a statement. Keep calm, you're innocent until proven guilty. You may have heard the following phrases: innocent until proven guilty and beyond reasonable doubt. Both of these phrases relate to the burden and standard of proof in criminal law. These are topics which are studied in greater detail in law of evidence. However, in criminal law book, it is important to understand some of what these concepts mean. The phrases burden of proof and standard of proof are different concepts which should be applied differently. Slide 36, burden of proof. When the defendant is prosecuted for a criminal offense, the prosecution is brought by the state, as the state with all its powers and resources is accusing a person who lacks such powers and resources of committing a criminal offense. The law states that the prosecution must bear the burden of proving the case against the defendant and of disproving any defense that the defendant may raise. The defendant does not have to prove anything, as he or she is presumed to be innocent until proven guilty by the prosecution. This is called the presumption of innocence. Slide 37, also burden of proof. The role of the defense counsel in a criminal case is to undermine the prosecution's case and to put forward his or her client's defense, but he or she has no obligation to prove anything. The burden of proof is on the prosecution in criminal cases. This is the general rule. It means that the prosecution must prove each and every element of the offense charged in order to establish that the defendant is guilty. Slide 38, also burden of proof. There are exceptions to the general rule that the burden of proof rests on the prosecution. The burden of proving the elements of the offense will always be on the prosecution. However, in certain circumstances, the burden of proving the defense may lie with the defense. Whether or not this occurs depends on the defense raised and to some degree on the offense charged. Where a defendant pleads the defenses of insanity or diminished responsibility, the burden of proving that defense will be on the defendant. Where the burden of proof is on the defense, the standard of proof is different. Slide 39, standard of proof. When the burden of proof is on the prosecution, the standard of proof must be beyond reasonable doubt. This is an intentionally high standard of proof because there is potentially much at stake for a defendant. In civil matters, a defendant who is held liable will only have to pay an amount of money in compensation. By contrast, in criminal matters, a convicted defendant may lose his liberty through a prison sentence. Another reason for the higher criminal standard of proof is due to the fact that criminal cases are usually brought by the state, which has a lot of resources and money. A criminal case is unbalanced because it involves a battle between an individual and the state. A civil case involves a dispute between two individuals who are usually equal in resources and money, except in cases where an individual sues a company. Slide 40, also standard of proof. The standard of proof in criminal proceedings means that the jury can only convict the defendant if the prosecution have proved beyond reasonable doubt that the defendant is guilty. If the jury think that there is any reasonable doubt, they must acquit the defendant. The phrase reasonable doubt has been criticized, but no alternative has been found. The meaning of the criminal standard of proof was explained by Justice Denning in the case of Miller v. Minister of Pensions, 1947. And there is the quote. Proof beyond reasonable doubt does not mean proof beyond a shadow of a doubt. If the evidence is so strong as to leave only a remote possibility in the defendant's favor, which can be dismissed with the sentence, of course it is possible, but not in the least probable. The case is proved beyond reasonable doubt, but nothing short of that would suffice. Slide 41, also standard of proof. A judge will explain to the jury what the standard of proof means. You must be satisfied so that you are sure. The trial judge will explain to the jury that they have to be as sure as they would be if they were making a decision about something important in their own lives. If the jury are satisfied so that they are sure about a defendant's guilt, then they must convict. If they are not sure, they must acquit. Slide 42, also standard of proof. In criminal proceedings, the burden of proving a defense is on the defendant. If this is so, then that standard of proof is on a balance of probabilities, which is a lower standard. This is also the standard of proof applied in civil proceedings. When something is judged on a balance of probabilities, the jury or magistrates only need to be 51% sure of the facts presented. Slide 43, also standard of proof, example. A defendant is charged with murder. At a trial, the prosecution bears the burden of providing the elements of murder, that the defendant killed the victim, which is the actus reus of the murder, and that he intended to kill or cause grievous bodily harm to the victim, which is the mens rea for the murder. The prosecution will have to prove these elements beyond reasonable doubt so that the jury are sure that the elements of the murder are satisfied. If the prosecution achieves this, the defendant is guilty of murder. However, if the defendant raises the defense of insanity or the defense of diminished responsibility, then the defendant will have to bear the burden of providing the elements of insanity or diminished responsibility. The defendant will have to prove his or her defense on a balance of probabilities so that the jury are 51% sure that he was legally insane or that his responsibility was diminished. If the jury are 51% sure that the defense is made, then they must acquit the defendant. Slide 44, للاطلاع, the burden and standard of proof. جدول ينقسم إلى on the prosecution and on the defense من حيث burden of proof and standard of proof. On the prosecution, burden of proof, to prove the elements of the offense or to disprove the defense. Standard of proof, beyond reasonable doubt. On the defense, burden of proof, occasionally to prove the defense, example, if pleading insanity or diminished responsibility. Standard of proof, balance of probabilities. Slide 45, evidential burden. An evidential burden is not a burden of proof, as it does not require a party to do anything. It does not have a corresponding standard of proof. The legal burden of proof should not be confused with the evidential burden. An evidential burden is a burden to raise evidence in order to make an issue a live one. The evidential burden in a criminal trial only really becomes significant where the defendant relies upon certain defenses such as self-defense, provocation, automatism, and duress. The defendant will bear the evidential burden. He or she will have to raise evidence of their relevant defense to make the defense a live issue. The legal burden remains with the prosecution to prove beyond reasonable doubt that the elements of the defense are not satisfied. Slide 46. The elements of an offense, للاطلاع. Actus reus plus mens rea plus absence of defense equals criminal liability. Slide 47. Summary. 1. Criminal behavior is different from country to country and from era to era. 2. A crime is a public wrong as it affects the public. 3. The criminal law is punitive and seeks to act as a deterrent. 4. The criminal proceedings, a prosecution, is brought by the state. 5. There are two sources of criminal law, statute law and common law. 6. Offenses may be classified as indictable only, either way, or summary only. 7. Criminal law trials are held in the magistrate's court with three justices of the peace or one district judge, or in the crown court with a judge and a jury. 8. The prosecution bear the burden of providing that the defendant committed the offence. 9. The standard to which they must prove this is beyond reasonable doubt. 10. Criminal liability requires an actus reus, which means guilty act, and a mens rea, which means guilty mind, and the absence of a defense. نهاية التسجيل ونهاية chapter 1.